as we were singing, what song were we singing? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I just felt the Spirit saying that He wanted to reveal Himself even clearer to us. I don't know, HD, 3D. but yeah, I felt like God wanted to show Himself even more real to us. And so let me just pray into that. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace over our lives. We thank You, God, that it is Your desire that we see You. That it is Your desire, Lord, to be revealed, to be found, to be known. And Father, we do pray that as we come together here, that You would invade this space. Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts. Fill this place with Your presence. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about what Bruce Wilkinson says, the secret of the vine. If you're not familiar with him, he wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez. It's a great book. And after that, he wrote another book, another great book called The Secret of the Vine. And so I'll be sharing a little bit of his insight today. I might not reference him, but if you read the book and if you hear the same thing, it is from his book. But our message comes from John 15. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. The fall, he's going to be crucified soon. And so he brings a very important message. Instructional message. It's not a parable, it's more of a metaphor about the vine and the branches and God being the gardener. And the reason for this message, and he says it at the end, the reason, I believe, is so that we would know how to bring glory to God. Jesus, while on earth, He did many good works, but I believe the greatest motivation Jesus had, with strong opposition, the greatest motivation was so that He would bring glory to the Father. And today, in this passage, He shares with His disciples the secret of how to bring glory to the Father. And so here, let me read from verse 1, John 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He begins with this, the I am statement. And for those of you who are familiar with the Bible, may recognize the term I am is a term that God used to describe Himself. When Moses was called to free Israel, to free the Jewish people from Egypt, Moses was afraid, and he said to God, okay, I'll do this for you. But when I go back to the elders, who should I tell them sent me? And God gives him this revelation. God says, I am who I am. I am sent you. That I am, it doesn't end with a period, as in the Hebrew, apparently it's an I am, dot, dot, dot. It's an ellipsis. I don't know if I'm, is it ellipsis? Is it plural? Ellipses? Ellipses. It's a continuation. It's like an invitation. God is saying, Moses, I'll show you who I am. After I'm through with your life, you can fill in the blank. I am the God that set you free from bondage and slavery. And throughout generations to generation, He continues to fill that blank in our lives. I am the God that calms the storm. I am the God that heals leprosy. I'm the God that stands up for the prostitute. I am the God that heals the blind, the deaf, the lame, the mute. I am. It's a great name. It's a fitting name for God, an eternal God. It is not limited. I am the God that set me free from financial difficulties. I am the God that set me free from addiction, from depression. Amen? I am. I heard a pastor share the story. I guess this was his first time him and his son went fishing. And he was praying to God, Lord, I pray my son will catch a fish. This was prior to this, he thought fishing was as fun as watching paint dry or grass grow. But he got into fishing and he wanted his son to get into fishing. So he was like, Lord, I want my son to catch a fish. And so they went fishing and son casted his reel and didn't catch anything the first time. He did it again, and he didn't catch anything the second time. And by the fourth time, the sun was going down, the pastor was frustrated, and it was time to go, so he said, son, we gotta go. And he was very frustrated by that time. He thought God would answer his prayer. He thought this was gonna be a great father-son moment. He doesn't have too many times like this with his son, and he thought God was gonna answer his prayer. So he said, son, we gotta go. And but his son said, Dad, let me just cast it one more time. And you know, he was almost gonna say, it doesn't matter. Why bother, kind of thing. But instead he said, sure, go ahead, cast it one more time. And he did. And that fifth time he caught a fish. And they were both very excited. And later that day the son says to his dad, Dad, I know God now. And his dad said, what do you mean? He says, God is the God of the fifth cast. He was able to fill in that blank of I am. And I think it's important for each and every one of us to really see when it says I am, that we take his invitation, that we take him up for that invitation to know him. Not just know who he was, and not even just to know who he will be. A lot of us, many times as Christians, we get so caught up in what it will be like in heaven. And that's a great hope to have. But that's not the only hope we should have. God is still God, even in this moment in our lives. And he wants to reveal himself. He wants to be known. He wants to be seen. It is his desire and will. I am. And he says, I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener. Of course, I don't know if many of us own a vineyard, or if we even seen a vineyard. I guess if you like wine, you've probably been to those vineyard places, but a vineyard or a vine may not have too much significance in our lives, but in the audience of that day, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, not just the vine, but the true vine, it evokes something. Because Israel and the Jewish people, they felt they were the vine, the vineyard of God. And in the Old Testament, it alludes to Israel as God being the gardener who plants Israel, the vine, the vineyard. And Jesus here, in this moment, says, I am the true vine. I am the vineyard. And I believe what Jesus was doing is, he was, again, just inviting a greater participation in the divine life and being the people of God, because at that moment the people of God were the Jewish people in the place of Israel. But today, it's not limited to race, culture, or location, but that those, all who call upon Jesus' name can be a part of God's people. Amen. The I am the true vine. God is the gardener, and we are the branches, and He desires us to bear fruit. Let me read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it would be even more fruitful. Let me stop there. I'm not a gardener. I don't have a green thumb. I'm rarely working on the yard. The only time I've worked on the yard since we've been here in Tucson was to cut off a branch that was blocking our driveway. That Min and Evelyn, they come to our house about every week, and they had to like duck over the branch. And so I finally cut it off. And being in Tucson, you know, once you cut off a branch, it withers real quick. It dies, right? In this image here, God is saying, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. If you're bearing fruit, I will prune you. And some of us today, I believe, are in the pruning process. And in some ways, I believe JCCT is in a pruning process, a pruning season. A pruning season does not feel good. It doesn't look good either. If you've seen, if you see rose bushes get pruned, they don't look pretty because there isn't anything there. And Jesus says, but I do this, or the Father does this. He prunes every branch that bears fruit. I don't know about you, but in my own personal Christian walk, there are times when I feel like I'm this close to God, that me and God were best friends. But then there are also times when I feel like I'm the furthest to God that I've ever been. But I believe that's a pruning process. And it is for our benefit. It would be so nice, I think, if I could feel close to God every single day. I feel like personally, if that were the case, my ministry would be amazing. But the reality is, it's not amazing. But, you know, I believe that God, He does this for a reason. At times, He allows us to feel His warmth, His presence, His goodness, His love, His joy, His peace. But at times, He prunes us and steps back so that we could step further, closer, enter deeper into an intimate relationship with Him. He says here, I prune every branch that bears fruit so that it would be more fruitful. But on the other hand, he says this, I cut off every branch that does not bear fruit. For those of us who are motivated by shame and guilt and fear, you know, God may cut us off if we're not fruitful. I believe there is a point in time where God will cut a believer off. But I do believe that if you claim to be a Christian and you're not living in Christ, eventually there'll be a point where you have to make a decision. And that decision will either bring you to repentance or bring you to a place of being cut off. But what's interesting, again, I get this from Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Secret of the Vine. He met a owner of a vineyard, and he was talking to him one time. And the man was talking about his vineyard, and he, the man says, yeah, most new branches, they tend to fall to the ground. That's their natural tendency, is to go to the ground. And when they go to the ground, and if it rains, the leaves get muddy, and it coats the leaf, and then it eventually begins to mildew. And when that happens, it doesn't bear fruit. And so Bruce Wilkinson says, oh, okay, so what do? You just cut it off? And the owner of the vineyard says, oh no, they're much too valuable to cut off. What I do is I go with a bucket of water, and I go to each new branch that's on the ground, and I wash them off, and I tie them up, so that eventually they'll bear fruit. And what Bruce Wilkinson points out in the Greek here, when it says every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut off. He says that word cut off can also be translated lift up. And so he doesn't really believe that anybody in Christ, because it says, I'm the vine and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me. He believes that if you're in Christ and you're not bearing fruit, but as long as you're in Christ and seeking Him, that He will desire to lift you up, cleanse you, so that you will bear fruit. His desire is that we will bear fruit. Again, whichever way you're motivated, whether you get cut off or if you need more encouragement, I do believe God's desire is that you bear fruit. And I'm not endorsing sin in any way. I'm not endorsing cheap grace or just it's okay to live your life the way you want to live. But I am endorsing God's grace and love and His desire for each and every one of us to live a fruitful life. And if an owner of a vineyard would be so gracious enough to go to each and every branch and cleanse them and wash them and lift them up, I believe God is infinitely more gracious than that person. Amen. He says this though, the secret of bearing fruit is that we remain in Christ. It's clear when we remain, if we don't remain in Christ, we cannot bear fruit. If we don't remain in Christ, we cannot do anything of eternal value. But if we do remain in Christ, I believe we can be confident that we will bear fruit. We could be confident, and it says this, that our prayers will be answered. I don't know about you, but that's something that I wish I could say, that 100% of my prayers goes answered. I don't know if you can say that. If you can, praise God, I'm going to go. I need some prayer from you. But Jesus clearly says here, if I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a great promise. If you remain in me, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. If anything, I hope that motivates us even just a little bit. Okay, I need to remain in Jesus. I need more of my prayers answered. I need to get closer to Jesus. And so here are some ways in how to remain in Christ. One, believe that He is the Son of God. 1 John 4:15 says this, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. To receiving Him as Lord and Savior. John 1:12 says, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. 3, doing what God says. 1 John 3:24 says, the one who keeps God's command lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Now, it's important that we keep his commands, but it's also important that we know his commands so we can keep it. So, I do encourage you to read your Bible. Don't just expect me to give you everything that's in the Bible. That's impossible for me to do. You need to put in the effort to read the Bible yourself. 4, continue believing the gospel. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. That's 1 John 2:24. And, you know, I just read earlier that, yes, God, there will be a time when you have to make a decision whether to repent or to be cut off. If you remain in Him, He'll lift you up if you're not bearing fruit. But there will be a point in time when you will have to make that decision. And finally, growing in love, John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Remaining in Christ, it's not rocket science. If it were, I wouldn't be up here teaching. but it does take effort. It does take some effort on our part to remain in Him. But as long as we're doing the remaining, He will do the fruit bearing. Another one that's not up there is remaining in the Christ is simply asking, praying, Lord help me. And for those of you who have the gift of praying in tongues, that's a great way of remaining in Christ, is praying in tongues. It says in Corinthians that those who speak in tongues edify themselves. That word edify themselves is like recharging one's battery. Those who speak in tongues recharges one's battery. Again, it's for those of you who have that gift. And again, a lot of times, I think when we see the word gift, spiritual gift, we think in terms more of, I don't know, a remote control car, or a gift in terms of a TV or something, or a PlayStation 3. But when you see the word and term gift in the Bible, I want to encourage you to see it more as something that's necessary to fulfill your purpose, rather than something to entertain you. These gifts aren't for entertainment purposes. If you're given a gift, it's a necessary tool so that you can accomplish all that God has called you to do. Remain in me. And why do we want to remain in Him? Well, to bear much fruit. And bearing much fruit brings glory to the Father. As I was reading and meditating upon the scripture and just studying it, one of the things that I wanted to know is what exactly is fruit? How do I measure if I'm in Him? And so I believe there's at least two definitions of fruit. One is disciple making. But the second one scholar puts it, is growing inwardly, is participating in the divine life, characterized by knowing God. And that's more of an experiential knowing of God, more than an intellectual knowing of God. Participating in the divine life. The more we know God is the measure of how fruitful we are. Not again, I'm not saying how much we know about God, but how much we could fill in the blank of the I am statement. If I were to ask you, fill in the blank of I am for God, and you don't have too much to write, that is a measure of how much you're participating. I believe that is a measure of how fruitful your life is. The longer that sentence or paragraph or book is of I am, I believe it measures how fruitful you are in the Lord. And the more we could write, the more we could witness and testify to who God is in our life, it will bring glory to the Father. Because if someone asks you, why do you believe in God? At some point, it needs to be more than because my parents brought me to church. At some point, it needs to be more than because that's what I grew up with. If that's all you have, it's a good starting point. But eventually you need to know Him. As the Son says, He is the God of the fifth caste. And it is God's desire that we're able to fill that blanket, because it brings Him glory. I hope this week, in some ways, we will see God even clearer, even greater, and have a greater testimony and witness to who He is and be more fruitful in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace. Father, we thank You so much that You have invited us into a place of intimate relationship. Lord, we do want to see You. We do ask that You would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Father, we want to experience You. We want to see You beyond the pages of the Bible and into our personal lives, into our daily lives. Father, even today, and this week, as we visit friends and go to work, as we see family members, even strangers, Lord, we pray, God, that You would invade and break into our world, Lord. That we would invite You, Lord, to be a part of our lives. Not just here during church, but every day, Father. We thank You so much for Your grace, Lord. I do pray, Father, for those of us who feel like there is no fruit in their lives right now. I pray that You would wash them, cleanse them, and lift them up. I pray that they will not go to the point of being cut off and thrown and withered. And I do pray, Father, for those of us who are struggling with just being pruned, that You would give us the wisdom to know that it is by Your grace we're being pruned, so that we could bear more fruit for You. Father, would You draw us closer, Lord, individually and as a church. We thank You so much for this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.